Welcome back to the Motor City Sports Rundown. We've got a jam-packed show for you today as we navigate the heat of mid-June.
Absolutely. The summer sports lull is a myth around here. We've got major updates on the diamond and some serious foundational building going on over on the gridiron.
That's right. Today, we're going to dive deep into the health of Justin Verlander and what his impending return actually means for the Tigers' rotation moving forward.
Plus, we're taking a trip to Allen Park to check in on the Lions' defense. Dan Campbell had some very interesting things to say about Kelvin Shepard entering his second year as defensive coordinator.
It's a critical year for Shepard, no question about it. Let's not waste any time and get right into it. We're going to kick things off over in Allen Park. Head coach Dan Campbell spoke to the media on June 11th, and he offered a notable update on the state of his coaching staff. Campbell stated that defensive coordinator Kelvin Shepard is, quote, much more comfortable entering his second season calling the defense.
It's a quote that really stands out because last year, Shepard's debut as DC in 2025 was undeniably a trial by fire. He took over after Aaron Glenn departed, getting the bump up from linebackers coach, a role he'd held since 2022. And the results on the field were mixed, to say the least. The Lions ranked 22nd in the league in points allowed, giving up 24.3 points per game.
Right, and giving up over 24 points a game in today's NFL puts an immense, almost unfair amount of pressure on your offense to be virtually perfect every Sunday. But when Campbell comes out and publicly emphasizes how much more comfortable Shepard is, you have to read between the lines. Is this a genuine endorsement of Shepard's scheme finally taking root? Or is it a head coach trying to project confidence for a coordinator who is undeniably under a microscope this season?
I think it's a bit of both, honestly. You can't ignore the context of the 2025 season. The sheer volume of injuries that defense sustained made it almost impossible to evaluate Shepard's play calling in a vacuum. When you are constantly shuffling personnel and pulling guys off the practice squad just to field a viable secondary, your playbook inherently shrinks. You can't run the complex pressure packages or the disguised coverages you might want to.
And we have to talk about what much more comfortable actually means in coach speak. When you jump from a position coach to a coordinator, suddenly you aren't just managing one group. You're managing the entire flow of the game, anticipating the opposing offensive coordinator's adjustments, and trying to communicate all of that in real time.
The game has to slow down for you. Exactly. And doing that while your defense is getting decimated by injuries is like trying to learn how to fly a plane while the engines are on fire. The Lions' defense in 2025 was constantly in survival mode. But the front office clearly recognized they needed to give Shepard better tools to work with, which brings us to the offseason additions. Bringing in DJ Wonnum and Derek Moore changes the entire complexion of this defensive front.
Those aren't just depth pieces. Those are guys expected to come in and immediately impact the edge. Shepard was an outside linebackers coach in 2021, so he knows exactly how crucial edge play is to making a defense work. If Wonnum and Moore can generate organic pressure without needing to blitz, it completely opens up what Shepard can call on the back end. Organic pressure is the holy grail for a defensive coordinator. If you don't have to manufacture a pass rush by bringing five or six guys, you protect your secondary. I think Campbell's comments are setting a baseline expectation. He's essentially saying the growing pains of year one are behind us, the roster is improved, and now it's time for the production to match the preparation.
It's definitely a make-or-break year for Shepard in that regard. If the defense is hovering around 24 points allowed again in 2026, the narrative is going to shift very quickly from he's getting comfortable to we need a new direction. But for now, the optimism in Allen Park seems genuine, and they believe the pieces are in place.
Moving over to the diamond, let's talk about a storyline that has every Tigers fan checking the daily injury reports. Justin Verlander's highly anticipated second stint in Detroit has been practically non-existent so far, and the wait is getting agonizing.
Agonizing is the perfect word for it. The hype when he signed that one-year contract back in February 2026 was absolutely off the charts. It was the prodigal son returning to where it all began. But the reality has been incredibly frustrating. Verlander is 43 years old now, and he's been stuck on the 60-day injured list since April 4th with hip inflammation.
It's wild to think he's only made one major league start this entire season, and that was way back on March 30th. Since then, it's been a slow stop-and-start rehab process, and his recent outings with AAA Toledo have been a complete mixed bag, which really complicates how we should view his impending return.
Exactly. If you look at his June 2nd rehab start for the Mudhens, he looked like vintage Verlander. He threw 5 shutout innings, commanded the zone, and generated weak contact. Fans were ready to pencil him into the rotation immediately. But then came his second start on June 10th, and the wheels completely fell off.
Yeah, that June 10th outing was alarming. He pitched 5.2 innings and surrendered 4 home runs. Giving up 4 long balls against AAA hitters is a massive red flag. It immediately sparks the debate. Is this just a 43-year-old pitcher shaking off the rust and trying to find his release point after dealing with hip inflammation? Or is this a genuine sign of age-related decline?
The hip is so crucial for a pitcher's mechanics, especially for a power pitcher like Verlander, who relies heavily on his lower half to drive down the mound. If that hip is even slightly bothering him, or if he's subconsciously altering his mechanics to protect it, his pitches are going to lose their bite and stay flat in the zone. And flat pitches get crushed, whether it's in Toledo or Detroit.
The Tigers organization is clearly taking a cautious approach. They have him scheduled for a simulated game on Monday, June 15th, to determine the next steps. But the context of this return is fascinating, because the Tigers' rotation is actually showing some real signs of life lately. They are navigating a very competitive season right now.
That's the irony of this whole situation. When they signed him in February, the narrative was that he needed to be the veteran anchor to stabilize a young, unproven rotation. Now, the rotation has kind of found its footing without him. That actually changes the pressure dynamic. He doesn't need to come back and be the ace. He doesn't need to throw 110 pitches and strike out 10 guys. Which might be the best possible scenario for a 43-year-old coming off a hip injury. If he can just give them 5 reliable innings every 5th day, keep the team in the game, and be a steady back-of-the-rotation arm, that's a huge win. But knowing Verlander's legendary competitive nature, he expects to be the guy. The question is whether his putty will let him be that guy anymore.
The simulated game on the 15th is going to be incredibly telling. The medical staff needs to see how that responds the day after he throws. If he clears that hurdle, we might finally see him back on the mound at Comerica Park. But if there's any lingering inflammation, this could turn into a lost season for the future Hall of Famer.
All right, before we wrap up today's show, let's hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. Let's get into it.
First up, looking at East Lansing, the administrative transfer portal is apparently wide open at Michigan State. Athletic director Jay Batt is expected to leave for the University of Kentucky after roughly just 1 year on the job.
It's just a staggering amount of turnover. Remember, President Kevin Gascevich just left for Clemson in May 2026, after only 2 years. If Batt's departure is confirmed, Michigan State will be looking for its 4th athletic director since 2021, and its 4th president since 2022.
You really have to wonder how a major program can compete in the modern NIL and conference realignment era with zero continuity at the executive level. It feels like a systemic crisis for the university.
It absolutely is. You can't build a long-term strategic vision when the people at the top are constantly using the university as a stepping stone. It's a massive hurdle for Spartan athletics going forward.
Finally, shifting back to baseball, some major injury news out of the AL Central. Cleveland Guardians third baseman Jose Ramirez has been placed on the 10-day injured list with a fractured left hammy bone.
And he suffered that fracture during a game against our Tigers on June 14th. He's expected to miss 5 to 7 weeks and will likely need surgery. Cleveland activated Gabriel Arias from the 60-day IL to take his spot and designated George Valera for assignment.
Ramirez actually broke his right hamate bone back in 2019 and missed about a month. This is a devastating blow to the division leaders right as we get close to the trade deadline.
No question. Losing your primary run producer completely shifts the power dynamic in the Central. The Tigers and the rest of the division have a real window of opportunity here while Cleveland scrambles to replace his production.
That is going to do it for this edition of the Motor City Sports Rundown. We appreciate you spending part of your day with us.
Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. We will catch you next time.